Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports and Religion. Along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew, I'm, of course, William Namo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, man. What's up? How's it going?
I'm doing good. Good to have you on the show, as always.
Thank you.
My pleasure. And thank you again, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to this episode. On today's show, we're going to talk about opening day that happened on Thursday. You know, I thought about both our teams, you know, Mets, Yankees, and even the Phillies, you know, with Bryce Harper making his much-awaited debut with the Phillies. We'll talk about that as well. We'll also talk a little NBA with Wade playing his last game, earlier today, or I should say tonight, at MSG, you know, against the Knicks. And also the Porzingis, the alleged Porzingis rape allegation, which came out of nowhere. And then, of course, we'll also talk about WWE, all the major news that happened in WWE, Charlotte becoming an eight-time champion, you know, after defeating Asuka on SmackDown, and, of course, competing at WrestleMania in the Triple Threat match, which became official. But most importantly, we'd love to hear from you. The number is 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. So feel free to call in and share your thoughts on any of these topics and more. But yeah, let's just start off with the opening day and. Yeah, let's talk Mets baseball here. And we had an epic duel, folks. You had Jacob deGrom, the reigning Cy Young Award winner, versus the runner-up, Max Scherzer. And not to mention he won back-to-back Cy Young Awards prior to that. The last couple of seasons prior to that, 2017 and 2016. And I think they said this is the fourth time this has happened, you know, pitchers going against each other, Cy Young Award winners going against each other. There was Seaver and Carlton battling each other several times. I'm trying to think off the top of my head, what were the other ones? But, yeah, I mean, it rarely happens. You got two Cy Young Award winners, especially the runner-up battling each other, and then the runner-up won the previous two. I mean, that goes without saying. So, as advertised, it was a pitching duel, and credit Brody Van Wagenen. You know, he signed DeGrom to the biggest contract in Mets history for a pitcher. He ties Santana for the amount, $137.5 million. Not to mention, you know, just the day prior to, you know, Jacob deGrom, you know, having a masterful performance. Him and Scherzer didn't have their A game, but both of those guys struck out at least 10 guys. I think Scherzer struck out 10. DeGrom struck out 10. And it was as advertised. And all the big acquisition that Brody signed made a big impact. Diaz got the save, but the only Met that had an offense throughout the opening day was Cano. Hitting his first home run as a Met in his first at bat. I think he was the 10th Met ever to do that. And then of course he had a a base hit in the eighth to have that insurance run, and then Diaz, you know, got the save after a Familia in the eighth had a little shaky eighth inning, but you know he was able to hold on the fort and not allow any runs to score. But all in all, it was what the doctor ordered for the Mets. You know, they beat Scherzer, who's always a Met nemesis. And DeGrom is back where he started, you know. Now I think he has, 25 straight quality starts, dating back to last year. And I think only Bob Gibson has a better run, a streak, I should say. But, you know, congratulations to the Mets signing DeGrom. And, you know, hopefully they could re-sign, they could extend Syndergaard and Wheeler and Conforto as well. But then earlier today, they had game two. Syndergaard, he had a shaky start, man. I mean, you know, he blew leads, man. He had a 3-0 lead, a 4-1 lead, and then in the sixth, you know, the fifth inning, I think he gave up 2 runs to cut it to 4-3, and then in the sixth inning, he gave up the tying run, and then the Mets right after that, top of the seventh. The Mets scored 4 runs to give themselves a lead. And, but, you know, that wasn't enough because luckily for the Mets in the ninth, I think they scored 4 again. And, I'm trying to think who gave up the runs in the ninth. It was Lugo, because Lugo got the last out in the eighth on one pitch. When Matt Adams flew out, and luckily for the Mets, he hit it to the deepest part of the ballpark, because in any stadium, that would have been a tie game. But Matt Adams fortunately flew out. But then the ninth inning, Lugo didn't have it, and he needed Edwin Diaz, who 15 minutes ago prior to the ninth inning, thought he was going to have the rest of the night off, but the Mets they had a 7-run lead going into the ninth inning, the bottom ninth inning, and they gave up 4 runs to make it a safe situation for Diaz. And Diaz came into the game one pitch and he got his second save of the season in his second try. So all in all, the Mets are going to try to get the sweep tomorrow, you know, facing Patrick Baron Corbin, you know, on the mound, the Nationals' big free agent signing. They're going to try to stop the Mets from getting the sweep. But all in all, you know, great series for the Mets so far. Syndergaard looked a little shaky. But you know, the Mets offense came through in the clutch, and one more thing, Alonso, he had his first hit of his career in the first game, and he had I think 3 hits today, and also Jeff McNeil, he's hitting. He hit like I think he went 4-for-5. So all in all, Mets are firing on all cylinders. So props to the Mets. What's your thoughts on the Mets so far?
Yeah, you know, they had that great win on Thursday. You know, Robinson Cano hit his first home run with the team. I don't know how he did today. Did he bat well today? Did he hit well?
Repeat that.
Did Robinson Cano hit well today? Because he had his first home run on Thursday.
Yeah, he had 2 hits yesterday, but Thursday he had 2 hits on Thursday, but today I think he went 0-for-5 or something like that.
Oh, okay. Well,
He didn't have
for the Mets offense to be successful, you know, they're definitely going to need Cano, you know, to give them that power in that lineup, you know, like he did on Thursday. And, you know, they got the pitching, you know, the ground pitch well. You know, he'll probably win 20 games this year. hopefully, if everything goes well. But then you have to worry about Syndergaard's start today. I mean, like you said, he was shaky. So, they're going to have to – he's going to have to be that second guy behind DeGrom. So, you know, hopefully he puts the start behind him and, you know, he could have a Syndergaard like start his next start coming up. But, yeah, I mean, they're going to need him and some of these other guys to come up big in the pitching staff because you can't have DeGrom carrying the pitching staff like he did last year or carrying the team like he did last year almost.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you're absolutely right. For the Mets to go far, I mean, Syndergaard and DeGrom has to be as advertised, and Wheeler got to continue what he did last year, and Max stay healthy and take his game to the next level.
Yeah, definitely.
And another note, J.D. Davis, he had an error, but he redeemed himself, getting a big hit, earlier today. So, you know, props to him bouncing back.
Yep, definitely.
But now they're going to have to try to get this sweep. And it's not going to be easy. But hopefully they'll be able to get this W here.
Yeah, Nationals, they're still a good team without Bryce Harper. So, they're gonna try to avoid that sweep tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Fortunately for the Mets, you know, even though they're battling Corbin, who had a great year last year, they're going to have Wheeler on the mound, and they're going to need Wheeler to be as great as he was the second half of the year. So we'll see what happens with that. And then afterwards, this coming weekend, Thursday, they're going to have their home opener at City Field. So that should be, and they're going to be hosting, the Nationals, but this time at home. So that's going to be another big season, series again. So yeah, let's see how the Mets do this season, because they need everything to go right, man. Every game counts, because this is essentially a 4-team race. So, you know, they really need to they can't take any of these games lightly.
Yep.
So we'll see what happens. And Monday they're gonna face the Marlins in Florida. So they gotta beat up on those Marlins. So we'll see what happens with that. But shifting gears to the other team in town. They had their home opener, and of course I'm talking about the New York Yankees. They had a big game on Thursday afternoon. Voit and Bird homered, and Yankees won 7-2. But unfortunately for the Bronx Bombers, it was the exact opposite earlier today, and the Orioles bounced back from that tough loss and beat the Yankees by the final score of 5-3, if I'm not mistaken. So, Matt, what's your thoughts, about the season thus far?
Well, yeah, it's they had a great win on Thursday. Offense showed what it could do. Have a Voit batting cleanup now. And I agree with Boone putting him in that spot, because this guy who, he's patient at the plate. Yeah, he drives any fastballs that's right in the middle of the plate. So him being as a cleanup hitter now in our lineup, that's definitely going to extend that lineup and make them more fearsome than they already were. But Luke Voit's off to a good start, and they had a great game. They just bashed the Orioles pitching. Orioles are going to be terrible this year. The Orioles did end up beating the Yankees, like you said, this afternoon. The Yankees just look... They look like they're sleeping today. I don't know what happened to the offense. The offense looks like they woke out of bed too early and didn't have breakfast. Mm-hmm. But, they fell up. They did make a comeback there in the ninth inning, but they fell short 5-3. But the pitching has been very excellent so far. I like how Tanaka pitched in the opener, and liked how Paxton pitched today. And I'm looking forward to seeing how Happ pitches, you know, tomorrow. So hopefully these guys can keep the ship afloat as, you know, Severino and Sabathia are on are absent right now. So hopefully these other guys can step up big and keep the ship sailing.
Yeah, and they're going to be Yankees are going to try to get the rubber game at home tomorrow afternoon. And then after that, they're going to be hosting the Tigers.
Yeah, it's there's going to be some big early matchups. Then you got the Red Sox, I think, in the middle of April, too, coming to the stadium. So got a lot of good matchups early on. I think also Astros, even, in April. So a lot of big matchups early in the season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I don't like about this whole interleague. Ever since Astros, moved to the American League, the interleague play has been horrible. You know, now it's interleague every day because they have 15 teams each instead of 16-14 in the National League advantage. But ever since then, the interleague has been horrible. You know, one game you're battling someone in your division. Next game you're facing an American League West team. Next game you're battling somebody else, you know, in the Central Division, and you're on the road, back on the road again on the West Coast. Yeah. And then instead of playing like a West Coast trip, it's like everything's broken apart. It's like right. There's no order to it.
Yeah, I agree. It's not like it's how it used to be.
Yeah, and interleague back in the days was like from like 97 on to like, well, I don't know, I'm trying to think, do the math, to like, what, 2014 or so. It was, you play interleague, you just play 2 weeks, you know, interleague play, and then afterwards you're done. You don't have to worry about, oh, am I facing the Astros in the middle of April or anything like that. It was just, you know, around the summertime you're going to be battling, you know, interleague, and then that's it. And then you just worry about facing people in your division where it counts.
True.
You don't want to be fight facing the Astros or the Red Sox. Well, I mean, you would be facing the Red Sox since
they're in our conference.
Obviously.
Yeah.
But yeah, you don't want to be like for example your team. You don't want to be battling the Astros, but yet the Red Sox are facing the Marlins. You know, the last game of the season And you know, it's, you know, the you guys are both battling out for the division, you know.
Right. Yeah.
You know, you want some parity.
True, but you know, then again, you got to beat the team that's on your schedule. So there's no excuses, at all, because you know, especially for the teams that are in the same division, because they play the same opponents. So got to beat you look at last year. You know, the Red Sox won the championship and. They beat the teams that they were supposed to beat, the Rays, Orioles, Jays. You know, the Yankees, struggled against some of those teams. And then Red Sox beat those other teams to death. So no excuses. Mm-hmm. You got to beat the teams that are on your schedule, you know, whether they're a good team or they're an inferior team, you know. So
you're absolutely right. You hit it right on the head. But, yeah, shifting gears. Speaking of fighting horrible teams, you know, in your sport, you know, the Knicks, you know, they were trying to play spoilers to the Heat on Dwayne Wade's final game at the Garden, since this is his final year. But as expected, the Knicks fell to the Miami Heat. I think the final score was 192. Trying to think. I think Moody had like at least 20 points. Knox, he had, I think he scored 16 points. Mitchell Robinson, he didn't have a good scoring night, but he did have 9 points. I think he had, 10 or 11 rebounds and 4 block shots. I mean, this guy is incredible, man. This is the previous game. He had career highs. He had 19 points and 21 rebounds. And I think that was the most rebounds a rookie had since Willis Reed's rookie year in 1965. And not to mention this guy, he's on a tear. I mean, every game he has is like at least 2 block shots in it. So, I mean, this guy is incredible.
Yeah, he's playing great, you know. Hopefully the Knicks can keep him and don't try to use him as trade bait for anyone like Anthony Davis.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you. I'm totally with you on that. Mitchell Robinson needs, but he has to be kept, man. And not to mention this guy, he didn't even play any college ball last year. He's been a breath of fresh air and a hidden gem in that draft last year. You know, so you know. Kudos to them for the Knicks for, drafting him. But they need guys like that. They need Knox to step it up. And Nilakina, he's out for the rest of the year because of his groin injury. That's official. And LeBron James himself, he's out. He's going to miss the remaining 6 games due to his groin injury as well. So, you know.
Nilakina has been out. Nilakina has been out since the start of the season. I don't know what you're talking about.
It doesn't seem like it. It definitely seems that way. Yeah, it definitely seems that way. Nilakina, man. I mean, he's been a bust. It's sad. Sad to say that, but he's been a bust.
I treat him for a Dwayne Wade jersey, man. That's how bad this guy is.
Yeah.
This year.
No doubt about that, and he's definitely not James Harden, offensively, because James Harden today he had his 5th career 50th point triple double. I mean this guy is insane, man. This guy had 50 points, 11 rebounds, 10 assists in his team Rockets defeating the Kings, final score 119 to 108. So I mean, what can you say? This guy had 7 three pointers. I mean this guy is a beast, man. You can't stop this guy.
Yeah, having a great year. Too bad his team will lose to the Warriors in the playoffs.
Well, yeah, of course. And that's the importance of the Knicks getting these superstar players, especially Durant. Durant is the key, you know. And David Fizdale was talking about that a few days ago that, you know, the importance for the Knicks to improve on their defense, they have to have the pieces, you know, come to them in the offseason, which obviously he didn't say what they were. You know, because you don't want to have collusion, you know, about, you know, talking about, or tampering, I should say, you know, because Durant and Irving are players, you know, currently under contract with the Warriors and the Celtics, respectively. So, the Knicks are definitely going to need that. They need all the help in the world. And then on the college basketball side, Duke advanced as well. So Zion Williams, he had I think he scored 23 points to lead the Duke. And man, I have to admit this, I usually don't like Duke, because Duke, even though UCLA has more title wins than anybody, but to me I feel like Duke is like the Yankees of college basketball because of their popularity, you know. So, but this is the first time I'm actually rooting for Duke to win it all.
All right, that's my pick to win it this year, so stick with that.
Yeah, me too as well, as you saw from or heard from last week's episode. Yeah, they defeated Virginia Tech. Final score 73, 75-73. In their Sweet 16 victory last night, and they're gonna be battling Michigan State tomorrow. So that should be a, you know, interesting game to check out as well.
Yeah, getting closer to that matchup that I wanted for the Final Four, for the championship, Duke versus Virginia. Getting closer to that, Virginia's playing like a championship team. You know, they've only had three losses this year, all year, so they're gonna be tough.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And RJ Barrett, another Nick possibility. He had 18 points with 11 assists, but unfortunately he had five turnovers and he went 0 for 7 from 3-point range. But, you know, they were able to hold down the fort and get that victory. So we'll see what they'll do tomorrow. Another NBA note. An unfortunate NBA note, former Knick, Kristaps Porzingis, he was allegedly accused of being a lady, a neighbor of his. And this story came out of nowhere. I mean, apparently this happened after he tore his ACL last year, which obviously he hasn't played ever since, which resulting in the Knicks having this horrible season and him being traded. But I mean, this is horrible. I mean, I hope it's not true. I mean, because I mean, for both of their sakes, I hope this story is not true. But this is insane. Like,
Yeah.
reportedly he, you know, he offered $68,000 to pay the. You know, the alleged victim's brother's college tuition, you know, to keep her mouth shut. And yeah, this is insane. This is absolutely horrible. Like, I don't even know what to say.
Well, you know, hopefully, you know, we can give him the benefit of the doubt because
Yeah, we don't
you
know
are
the full
innocent until proven guilty.
until proved.
So,
Yeah.
I mean, he did suffer an ACL that day that this woman is alleging that he sexually assaulted her. I would think that once you tear the ACL, you're like, you have to go to the hospital, have it examined, and then you're kept overnight. I thought that was the case with some of these players, but who knows?
Yeah, who knows? Hopefully this story is not true for both of their cases. Because one, that would be, I mean, that goes without saying, that'd be horrible. You'd have to look at Porzingis in a whole new light if he would even do something, think of doing something like that, much less
Yeah.
doing it. And then if this lady is, you know, lying, then, you know, that's just, you know, horrible on that case as well. So I mean, let's just hope it's not true, but we'll find out. The truth always comes out, so hopefully justice will be served,
Yeah.
you know, whoever's telling the truth in this story. But yeah, let's switch over to WWE. And yeah, the big news, the two big news is one, it's official, the main event will be Becky Lynch battling Ronda Rousey, the Raw Women's Champion, and the newly crowned SmackDown Women's Champion, Charlotte Flair. And why is this happening? It's because Vince McMahon, you know, on Tuesday night, or I should say Tuesday, you know, hours prior to SmackDown going on, he made this quote unquote wise decision to put the title on Charlotte for no reason. Like, they can this was the WrestleMania match that I wanted, you know. I wanted to have Asuka battle, you know, Charlotte Flair, you know, at WrestleMania, because Charlotte Flair is clearly the square peg in the round hole of this matchup. this is the triple threat match nobody wants except for Charlotte and Vince McMahon, because this was clearly Becky Lynch's moment, and it still could be if, you know, if Becky walks away with what she should. But not to mention, Ronda Rousey and Charlotte had a match at Survivor Series because Becky Lynch was hurt. And how did that match end? Ronda Rousey, you know, won by DQ because Charlotte Flair, when the match seemed, you know, even at the time, Charlotte Flair got herself disqualified by attacking Ronda Rousey for no apparent reason. So she had her shot against Ronda Rousey already.
Yeah.
But then now they forced this triple threat match. And now Charlotte, out of nowhere, defeats Asuka for the title on SmackDown. So now the SmackDown Women's title is basically useless because they weren't pushing Asuka. As of right now, she's probably in the SmackDown you know, the All Women's Battle Royale. So that was just a waste of a title run. And now Charlotte Flair has the women's title. But here's the more craziest rumor I'm hearing about this whole thing. You would think, now that Charlotte is the SmackDown Women's Champion, and she's going to be battling Ronda Rousey, who is the Raw Women's Champion, and of course Becky Lynch, who's the challenger, you would think it would be a unification match. Well, according to the rumors, that's not the case. And here's how this story gets even worse. If Becky wins, obviously that's easy. She wins the title. But the rumor is that she would win whoever she pins. And if Charlotte beats Ronda, the titles cancel out, and vice versa. So basically, the only way we can have a good matchup is if Becky wins, either way. Because if Charlotte beats Ronda, she's not a unified champion. She still retains her championship. And if Ronda defeats, I'm trying to think, Ronda defeats Charlotte, she doesn't become the new women's champion. She doesn't become the unified SmackDown and Raw women's champion. She just retains her title.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Because it's for the Raw Women's Championship, so Charlotte's title is not on the line.
But that's dumb. Well, apparently her title might be on the line. It's just that her title would be on the line is if she loses the this is the rumor right now. Because the rumor is right
her
now
her title
that
is on the line?
The rumor is that the title might be, I mean, this is not official yet, but the rumor is her title would be on the line if she gets pinned. But if she doesn't, if she beats Ronda, she doesn't become the women's champ. She doesn't unify the titles.
That doesn't make any sense. This is for the Raw Women's Championship. Her title has nothing to do, should not even be in the equation. You know? When the men have their championship matches.
Exactly. This reminds me of the Booker T when he was a World Heavyweight Champion. I think Bobby Lashley was the ECW champion. And I think, John Cena was the WWE champion. They had a match similar to this. And I'm pretty sure John Cena won. So, I mean, he retained his title. But this is a WrestleMania matchup. Like, if you're not going to unify the titles, then why did you rush and put the title on Charlotte?
I mean, I could see if Charlotte wins and then she's able to unify the titles, like, you know, later on.
It only makes sense if you – the only way you put the title on Charlotte is if you unify the titles. You know what I'm saying? Like, this should – if there's two champions in a WrestleMania matchup, it should be to unify the titles. This is just – I mean, this clearly doesn't make sense to me. They rushed to put the title on Charlotte – when they could have had a WrestleMania matchup, you would have had a rematch of last year, because it would have been Asuka trying to get her revenge after her 2-year streak, undefeated streak was ended, and her shot at winning the title at that time was taken away. So this would have been her revenge, you know, opportunity to finally defeat Charlotte and get the title that she should have, but this time keep the title. You know, that would have made more sense, but they just rushed this match, what, two weeks before WrestleMania for nothing. I mean, I don't even know what to say about this. I don't know. Well, I guess we'll find out more information on Raw. On Raw and SmackDown. And the other big news is New Day. Thanks to New Day, Kofi Kingston is finally going on the road to WrestleMania. I feel like we said this at least 5 times in the past, I don't know, 2-3 months, that Kofi qualified for WrestleMania. Because, I mean, last week was the perfect time for him to win. He beat everybody in the gauntlet, and then, you know, of course, Vince McMahon forced Kofi to fight Daniel Bryan in a losing effort, and then this week, you know, obviously they right the wrong because New Day fought on his behalf and, you know, defeated all the teams, you know, the Bar. I'm trying to think what teams they face. Wasn't it the Good Brothers too? I think those guys, you know, Gallows and Anderson. I'm trying to think who else did they fight. The Usos was basically the highlight of that gauntlet, because you know how those guys have a huge feud with the New Day for years, but they out of respect for Kofi they forfeit the match. So that was a nice moment, a brief and nice moment there. I think they defeated Rusev and Nakamura also. I can't remember whether. They defeated Daniel Bryan and Ron also. To officially win the gauntlet and get Kofi that his much deserved title shot.
Finally.
Here's my thoughts quickly. I thought it was a good moment, but I think it was watered down because Kofi should have won it himself. It would have only worked if they didn't have Kofi do the gauntlet match last week. If this was the decision they made without having Kofi go to the gauntlet match, I think it would have been a lot better, you know. Because they essentially did what Kofi did last week, you know. For all we know, Vince could have had another tag team to come in and attack them, and then they would lose the opportunity just like Kofi did. I mean, it was the same thing. They defeated 5 people for Kofi to have his opportunity. But what's your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I mean, it would have been better if Kofi did it himself. So that way, I mean, but hey, you know, he still gets the opportunity at WrestleMania. You know, the WWE has fulfilled the fans need to have Kofi in that match against Daniel Bryan. So now we're gonna see that match, and hopefully it's a great matchup. You know, that's probably the matchup that I'm most looking forward to at WrestleMania. Pretty much, you know, I want to see a real brother, you know, earn the WWE title. You know, I know The Rock, you know, he is a WWE champion also, but Rock wasn't like 100% black. You know, he's half Samoan, half black. Now we get to see a fully black wrestler have the opportunity to win the championship at WrestleMania now. So,
well, I mean, I hope Kofi does it, man. He's paid his dues. You know, 11 years in the business. He deserves to get a title shot. You know, he deserved it.
I mean, he went from Jamaican to West African to New Day, now potential WWE champion.
Yeah, it's long overdue. I mean,
Yeah.
he's really stepped up his game, you know, this year for sure. I mean, he's always been good, but I never thought WWE would even think about putting a title on him because of his size. And obviously, WWE, other than The Rock, they've never put anybody, no one of African descent has, African American or any or African descent has ever won the WWE title, with the exception of The Rock.
Yeah.
But only. I mean, I think it's a disgrace. I mean, only they've only put a, you know, the title, you know, the World Heavyweight title, or the former WCW title, you know, on Booker T, Mark Henry, and that's basically it. I mean, Bobby Lashley won the ECW title, the watered down version of the ECW title, but they never put, you know, the WWE title on anybody else of African descent, you know, other than The Rock. You know, and I
Yeah.
think it's time. You know, it stinks.
Yeah, when
But
Kofi wins it, it's gonna be like Black History Month part two.
yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, Ron Simmons definitely is one of the people who should have won it before. But what do you want to say quickly?
Just check out my show here. I'm back here shortly at midnight. Got Sports of a Legend every Saturdays at 11. Only on Block
Yep.
Talk Radio.
You're the guy. Check out my show every Saturday is at 11. Check out his show at midnight on Saturdays. And check out my show, my YouTube channel, Sports Open Legend TV. I'm William Mole. He's Mo Calling Mackey, and I'll see you guys next time. Peace.